12 and verse 20. Three times the Lord Jesus says, surely I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Again, he says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. And then in verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Three times the blessed Lord Jesus says to us, to each one of us, the word of God closes with this promise that the Lord Jesus says, I come quickly. Of course, he measures time a little different than we do. One day is as 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus. So we may say, how long? How long, Lord Jesus? And he will say to us, he will answer to each one of us, I come quickly. The return of the Lord Jesus is imminent. The return of the Lord Jesus is very, very near. And so what is it that these three times that the Lord Jesus says, I come quickly, what is it that he would have for us to glean from this? In verse 7, if you will, he says in verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take the place. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy, the prophecy of this book. Just that far. I'm going to pull each of these out of the context in which they are found just to make some applications for us to encourage our hearts. But here in this verse, in verse 7, the Lord Jesus would say to us, behold, I come quickly. And then he would remind us, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Here I would suggest to us that this would remind us of what we've had before us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, of the rapture, of the coming of the Lord Jesus for his own. He will come, and as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 would say, if you want to just turn there for a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this did not come up in our study, but I will just read these verses quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, and we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible has, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How wonderful to be reminded in these last words of the Lord Jesus, I am coming quickly, and blessed is he who keeps the prophecy of this book. Well, I would say that if you want to put one word next to this verse, we could say obedience. What the Lord is looking for you and I is obedience. Obedience in keeping his word, abiding in the word of God, knowing what the word of God says and living it out, looking to him for strength each day, beloved, and living out this word. How wonderful to see that the Lord Jesus has promised. He says, I come quickly, and there's blessing to the one who keeps the words of this prophecy, the prophecy of this book. There's blessing in keeping and obeying the word of God. This word blessing, it means that there is happiness, there is satisfaction, there's an inner peace, there's an inner joy in obeying the word of God. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. If the Lord has given you something to do, be steadfast. The Lord is giving you a direction from the word of God, then follow that word. It's always too soon to ever give up. It is always too soon to give up that which you know to be true from God's word. It's always too soon to walk away from what you know to be right. Continue on. There's that verse in 1 Timothy. And I would just have us turn there, sorry, in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, 2 Timothy chapter, my Bible turned automatically to Titus, wonder why. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, verse 14, he reminds us that, yes, all who desire, verse 12, to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men, he says, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says, but you, Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, and knowing them, knowing from whom you have learned them. He says, Timothy, keep the faith. Timothy, continue on in that which you've been taught. Continue on in the things. Because why? Because there's blessing in those that keep the word. There's blessing. There's a happiness. There's a fulfillment. There's a satisfaction. There's a love. There's an enjoyment of the things of God when you continue on in what you've been taught. And this is why Paul would tell Timothy, and he would tell those at Corinth, and he would use this expression in other places, but he would say, follow me even as I follow Christ. Continue on. We come to the book of 2 Timothy at the end, and we see that no one stood with Paul. No one stood. He was there by himself. But he would say this, even though all had forsaken me, there was one who didn't forsake him. And he says, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. And that was enough for Paul, that he could say, I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. He says that he has done that which God has given him to do. And I just want to encourage parents, continue on teaching your children. Continue on. Be obedient to the word of God. Follow the instructions of the word of God. There's blessing there for you. Isn't it wonderful that we can never outgive God? That when we obey him and we follow through with his word, that he will bless us beyond measure, that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If our hearts are loyal to him, our eyes are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, how encouraging that is. Continue on. Continue on in that which you've learned. Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. Obedience. In verse 12, he again says, a second time, he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. This reminds us, beloved, and I'm going to make the application here, that this would remind me of the fact that when the Lord Jesus comes and takes us to be with himself, that each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account, not for whether or not we're saved or not, that's taken care of at Calvary. But what the judgment seat of Christ is where we will give an account for the way in which we serve the Lord here. And just a couple of verses along this line. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. where we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 9. It says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. We want to please Him. My heart is fixed on pleasing Him. My heart is being loyal to Him. The one, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in Him who gave Himself for me. And so we find, he says, we make it our aim. When I read that word, we make it our aim, I think of what the Apostle Paul would say in Philippians chapter 1. He says, for me to live, Christ. For me to live, Christ. That was his ambition. That was Paul's ambition in life. He said, for me to die is gain. But for me to live, Christ. My life. The reason I'm here. My purpose. It's Christ. That's it. I wake up in the morning. I wake up to Christ. I walk through my day. I walk with Christ. I finish the day. I close my eyes at the end of the day. Christ. For me to live, Paul would say, Christ, that's my aim. That's my target. Never forget reading the story of about a man whose ambition in life was to be a millionaire. He succeeded. But he says, I worked all my life. I climbed the corporate ladder only to find that the ladder was on the wrong wall. I had the wrong aim. I had the wrong target. The judgment seat of Christ. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and he says, for we, notice that, let's just back up. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For, explanatory clause, for we must all appear. This is why we make it our aim, because we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Just stop there. So this judgment seat of Christ is not about salvation. The judgment seat of Christ is about service. Service. Just another verse along this line. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, where we're reminded about judging others. He says, then why do you judge your brother? Verse 10. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account to himself to God. And therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. And then he goes on. I would just turn one more passage of scripture concerning the judgment seat of Christ. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Where the apostle Paul would be writing, and he says in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed to how he builds. There's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation of gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, and if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And then it goes on. And I would just mention here again, I want to emphasize, this is not about salvation. This is about service. This is about what we've done for the glory of the Lord Jesus here in this scene. This is about what we've done, whether it's been done out of a pure motive for the Lord and whether it's been done for true service before Him. He's the assessor. He's the one who is able to judge that and determine that. And how important it is that we live in His presence with this in mind. It has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with the fact that on that judgment seat, the Lord Jesus will assess my works and what I've done for Him in this scene. And we know that the New Testament, I'll just mention this and I'll let you do the homework on it. I won't take the time to develop it, but just to say this, that in the New Testament, there are at least 5 different crowns that are mentioned. 5 different rewards. One of them we read about today, the crown of righteousness. And there's others. And these crowns will be given out at the judgment seat of Christ. But here's the thing. And I used to think that when I was younger, I was very competitive. And I was in every contact sport you could think of. I was in Kempo karate, and I was in taekwondo, and I wrestled, and I boxed, and I did all sorts of things. And I was a runner. I was a long-distance runner. And my idea was, I wasn't just in it for the run, I was in it to win. And so when I first heard somebody talk about the judgment seat of Christ, I said, wow, there's the crown of righteousness, and there's this crown and that crown, and I want them all. Right? I had the wrong motives. But I said, I want them all. Then when I found out what Scripture teaches about them, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 tells us that we are going to take those crowns and we're going to cast them at the feet of the blessed Lord Jesus. We're going to lay them down at His feet. And here's the thing. The judgment seat of Christ is not to be a place of fear. The judgment seat of Christ is to be a place that challenges us now to live for Christ. Because it's going to affect the way we live for Christ now, affects our worship in a day to come when we cast our crowns at His precious feet. And that thought motivates me. Don't you want to hear the very one who told each one of us, occupy till I come? Don't you want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm not afraid of much. I really am not. I don't have afraid of heights. I don't have claustrophobia. I don't have, you know, I was never afraid during COVID. I tell you, I'm just not afraid of stuff. But I'll be very transparent and tell you something. There's one thing I'm afraid of. I don't want to fail my Lord. I don't want to fail my Lord. The very one who says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. What is this? Next to verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy in this book. Obedience. What can we put next to this one? Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. What is the Lord looking for me and from you? Occupy till I come. Be faithful. Be faithful with the gift I've given you. Be faithful. Continue on. Don't give up along the way. Continue on. Be faithful. We drop down to the last one in verse 20. Very quickly in verse 20. And he testifies to these things. He testifies to these things, says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. He who testifies to these things, what is he looking for us? What is he looking from us? Not only is he looking for obedience, not only is he looking for faithfulness, but beloved, he's looking for hearts of affection for him. Hearts that are loyal in our affection for him. That we would answer his coming. I remember when I was younger, I couldn't say this. I couldn't say, even so, come Lord Jesus. I remember when I was younger, I was 14 or 15, and a brother got up and he spoke on the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I said, well, Lord, I'm not driving yet. Don't come until I get my license. And then 17, 18, 19, 20, all the way up to about 25, I said, Lord, I'm not married yet. Don't come yet, Lord. I want to be married. And then I got married, and first year we didn't have any children, and I said, Lord, don't come yet. I want to have a child. Then I had four of them, and I said, even so, come, Lord. But here's the thing, beloved. Where's our affection? We talked about it today. Where's our affection? Can we say from our hearts, tonight, right now, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's looking for that affection. It's a beautiful thing. There's much more that can be said here. But I would just encourage us. I do want to leave a little bit more time. But I would encourage us. Obedience. Faithfulness. Affection. Where are we at? May the Lord speak to our hearts. And may we go on until he comes. And may each day we say, even so, come Lord Jesus.